You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 30, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with a SoundCloud and Truth Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America. And then I call everybody up to the altar one by one who would like to for me to pray for you individually. And the Holy Spirit often operates in his wonderful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have healings, we have word of knowledge, we have prophecy, we have deliverance. And so that's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Excuse me. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, and Truth Social taping. When we're off the air, when we do all of that, sometimes we have a baptism, but again, I pray for people for healing and as the Holy Spirit leads. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we've learned that the book of Hebrews is God's education to his church. He's preparing his bride, his church, to reign. He's taking us from kindergarten to a master's degree, because when Jesus comes back at the seventh trump, he wants his church to be perfect, without spot and without blemish. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, we've had a wonderful teaching about the Mosaic tabernacle or temple or sanctuary in the wilderness. God told Moses to build a tabernacle there, a place to worship, as they were traveling from Egypt, bondage there, through the wilderness, onto the promised land. The tabernacle had three places there. It had the outer court, they had the inner court, and behind that second veil, there was the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. And once a year, the human high priest would go in there and put the blood of animals on that mercy seat for a temporary substitute sacrifice for sin. But it didn't last very long. They had to do it again the next year. But many years later, God sent his only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. And Jesus had no sin. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus died in our stead. He shed his blood for our sins. Why the blood? The life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus arose from the dead, and he took his precious blood, and he took it to heaven and put it on the mercy seat there. And now we don't need any more blood sacrifice. If you confess, believe, and accept Jesus, that blood will keep your sin free for all eternity. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, keep your eyes on your prize. Keep your eyes on your prize. Let me set the stage. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, says that all of us who are human beings, Christians, saved people, are like a man running a foot race. Now, in Bible times, they didn't have paved roads or paved streets, so you got kind of dirty there, and the sun was hot, and sometimes there was a stone or rock in your path, so you could almost trip over it. But Paul said you weren't running the race alone. There were people in the stands saying, keep on, don't give up, run the race, don't quit. Now, you and I, Christians, all over the world, and everyone in here, we are in a foot race. The earth is dirt. And we're running toward a goal. But we're not alone in this. I know you feel alone. Sometimes I do too. But Hebrews chapter 12 says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. All of heaven's host, loved ones have gone on before. Angels, they are cheering us on. Don't give up. Don't give up. And Paul says there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Now, when he says I, that means you, Christian. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark is a goal, and there's a prize waiting for you if you win this race.
Verse 30, for we know him that has said, vigilance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord.
Paul, the Holy Spirit used him to write Hebrews, is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 is called the Overcomer's Song. That is mentioned in Revelation chapter 15. It says there, since we're at the end of the age, the Antichrist comes before Jesus, but he's going to deceive the whole world instead of Christ. It says, for everyone who overcomes the deception of the about to appear Antichrist will sing the Overcomer's Song. And that is found in Deuteronomy 32. You want to practice your music, you want to study that chapter. But guess what? There's a prize for the overcomers. The prize is mentioned in Revelation chapter 15. For every one of us Christians who will not be deceived by the Antichrist, while the whole world will, Revelation 13, half the body of Christ will be deceived, Matthew 25. For those of us who are not deceived, the prize then is you get a golden harp, H-A-R-P. Now I know you say, what? Nope, it's good. A harp spiritually signifies sovereignty. What this means is the sovereign God will make sure that there will never be a power again to ever hurt you forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you're running that race. Everybody got your jogging shoes on? Okay, you're running the race there. But every now and then, something tries to trip you up. And when somebody tries to trip you up, when you're running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ, you get a prize right now. You know what it is? It's written in Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The devil tried to stick his foot there. He tried to make you sick. He tried to take you out. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment is condemned. And Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives a parable. He's talking about God avenges his elect. God protects his elect while you're running the foot race. He says there was a judge. He wasn't a good judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't fear man. But this woman kept coming to him. Now the woman would be you, men, women, boys, and girls running the foot race. And she says, avenge me of my adversary. You're saying, he keeps putting stumbling blocks in my path. He makes me sick. He takes my job. He messes up my business. He blesses up my relationships. And she just kept coming after him. She kept running the race there, you see. And finally the judge said, okay, not because I'm a good judge, because of her importunity, shameless persistence. So Jesus says, how much more will God avenge his elect, even though it's a little while, though they cry day and night? Even now, as you run the foot race, Jesus protects his elect. What a prize.
Amen.
And again, the Lord shall judge his people.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, again, Paul by the Holy Spirit says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, he's talking to Christians, the church. He's not talking to lost people. All lost people will stand before the great white throne judgment in Revelation, and that's another story. But every Christian, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says, to be recompensed for the good or bad. In other words, as you run the foot race, you're in that race, you're jogging away there, you're going to win souls to Jesus, and you're going to bring them in to the race because you are called to be a minister of reconciliation. You're going to be an intercessory prayer. You're going to pray in the Spirit, and prayer changes things. Mm-hmm. And you're going to love people. You're going to do kind acts, and you'll give people a cup of cold water, and you're going to pray for the sick. You're going to raise the dead. You're going to heal the sick in Jesus' name. Now, so when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there's a prize. The prize is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Every Christian's works, we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast, but once you're saved, you're supposed to do works for the glory of God. So every work you've done after you were saved will be put in a fire machine. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And if your works are gold, silver, you get a prize. You get a reward. Guess what it is? It's a beautiful linen garment, Revelation 19. And it's going to tell everybody forever that you were a useful Christian. What a prize. Amen. What a prize.
Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Fear here means to revere, to extol, to worship. He says it is an awesome, a reverential, awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now you're jogging away, and you're huffing and you're puffing, and you feel like you're not going to make it. But finally, there you are. You've reached the mark. You've got the goal. And there is Jesus. But it was hard for you, and you fall down. Like Daniel fell down, like Ezekiel fell down, like John the Revelator fell down. But guess what? You get a prize. Jesus picks you up when you fall. And then he caresses you. His left hand is under your head. His right hand doth embrace you. What a prize.
Amen.
Verse 32. But call together the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions.
Now, while you're running this race, you remember when you got saved. That's what illumination means. The light was turned on. Because we were all dead in trespasses of sin, they were in darkness. But when we met the light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we were illuminated. And something you found out there, that you began to be persecuted a little bit. Oh my goodness, some of your friends didn't want to be your friends anymore. They said, what happened to you? Did you get religion? But you have a prize. You said, nope. I didn't get religion, I got reality. The real God took a real body, Jesus, and died on a real cross. He shed his real blood. He arose from the dead, and he lives in my heart by his Holy Spirit. What a prize, what a prize, what a prize. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Did you hear that? For so persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. They put poor Jeremiah down in a sewage. History tells us that Isaiah hid himself in a wooden log, and they sawed him in two with a wooden log. And Paul, the apostle, was in prison so many times. He was shipwrecked. He was beat with 39 stripes five times. One time they killed him. He went to heaven, the third heaven, earth age. God brought him back to life. He was shipwrecked. A viper bit him. And then he went to Rome, and finally they beheaded him. But great is his reward in heaven. Now listen, you will lose some of your friends. The girlfriend who does not go to church with you, does not like that, that's not your friend. But see, there's going to be a prize. We're going to get to the prize. I wrote a little poem. Did that door close? Turn around. God says, I've something more profound. There's a prize waiting for you when your friend or your family even, that happens too, says, I don't want you anymore because you're a Christian.
Verse 33. Partly, whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions.
But you got up there, you stayed in the race, and you found a wonderful assembly where the Word of God is taught, where there's so much love, where the Holy Spirit operates in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit and then some. And you just went ahead. You didn't sit there watching the show anymore. You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, because you have the baptism now, because of Jesus in you, by the Spirit, you heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cast out demons. You speak in the language of the Spirit. You pray intercessory prayers. Boy, what an ambassador of Christ you are. But, oh my goodness, now you find that half the body of Christ persecutes you. Why? Because most of the body of Christ alive on planet Earth watch the show. Oh, they love Jesus, believe in the Bible, but they just watch the show. They rarely win a soul to Jesus. They don't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is the greatest thing that ever happened to a Christian. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They watch the show. And they don't understand when you no longer watch the show, you're in the show. Because now you have the baptism. And now you've got power. You have power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Now you can pray for people and the prayers are answered. And you speak in the language and things move. And you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Okay, there's a reward. Don't be discouraged.
And partly, while you became companions of them that were so used.
That's the prize. You just went ahead and you found those sanctified Christians who give their all to God, who operate 24/7 by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And they said, don't worry, this is good. We got persecuted too. It's a badge of honor, and that's your prize. You got new friends now. I mean real friends. I feel so sorry for people who don't go to church. This same chapter, verse 10, says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. You don't know what you're missing. You're missing the fellowship of sanctified Christians, and that keeps you from growing.
Verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods.
Precious Paul, he wrote half of the New Testament while he was in jail. He was in prison there. But you notice he said joyfully. He says in 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver. He would write letters to these churches. Paul's epistle, that means a letter to the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc. Timothy, Romans, all of that. Most of the time he was in jail, but he had a prize there. He wrote those letters, and he knew that this was his life's work. And he was writing and building up the faith of these Christians there. And he told them always, bring your tithes and offerings to the church. He did not ask for that, but sometimes they would provide what he needed. Sometimes they would bring him a cloak or a parchment. There was a prize for him, and great is his reward in heaven. Same thing for you.
Knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance.
Now, each one of you Christians who serves the Lord and you don't get out of the race and you do some good works for the Lord, there's a bank in heaven. It's God's bank. It's not like our evil banks here, for heaven's sake. Hi, Christine there. I know you're listening there. She's an employee at a bank there. She gets our teaching here. There's a vault in God's heaven, and in that vault, there's a deposit box, a big one, I hope, with your name on it. I believe the Lord's going to show you what's in that deposit box. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves on earth treasures where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth and rust cannot corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Your deposits are in heaven. And you know, when I give birthday gifts and Christmas gifts to loved ones and friends, I love to have a lot of little packages wrapped up because I know that's so much fun for them. Ooh, what is this? What is this? What is this? I get that from God. He's my Father. I inherit that. I believe He's going to say, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. What is this? Your prize. You get peace. You get love. You get joy. You get to be reunited with your Christian loved ones who've gone on before. No more death. No more sickness. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more devil. Whew, what a prize.
Verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath greater recompense of reward.
What he says here, while you're running this foot race, it takes a while. I've been running this a long time, you say, and don't get discouraged. Paul would also write, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. But sometimes it seems like a long time, does it? You're sowing seeds of kindness, of prayer, of love, of winning souls, of just good things to people. At such a time, how long before the prize, how long before the harvest? Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, seed, time, harvest. Our good friend, man of God, Roger, takes care of my garden of Eden out there. He does a great job. He just does that voluntarily. And Roger knows that you don't plant a seed and expect that delicious mango tree to be up the next day. It takes time. So while you're running this race, you're sowing seeds. You bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. You sow seeds of prayer, praying for lost people. You sow seeds of prayer for healing, prayer for deliverance from drugs and alcohol for people. And sometimes you sow a seed faith. Somebody you know needs some big money. And so you start sowing seeds of faith for that money. Now, I built my school on that because I've never had a salary in all these 45 years. I live by faith, and I started my school on $45. But whatever came, I would give tithes and offering. But now what I do, even for other people, I'll see they need, say, $3 million. So I will start sowing $300 and then $3,000. That's not my tithe. That's not my offering. That's seed faith. Now you say, what? Yes, that's how I live. That's how I built my school. That's how I'm paying for all this airtime. That's how I do it. That's how I do it. Blind it all. And that's how you can do it. And it says seed, time, harvested over and over and over again. After a while, the harvest came in. But the great prize for us now, those of us at the end of the age, is that the Bible says at the end of time, God's doing a quick work, a quick work. In other words, the harvest comes back, the reaper shall overtake the sower. I'm finding that the harvest comes in quicker now than it used to be. What a prize. Amen. What a prize. And what is your prize? What is your prize? Jesus will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small matters. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What a prize.
Amen. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Now, a will is a testament, okay? We have the old will, we have the new will. We have the Old Testament, and we have the New Testament. The will is God's word, and the will is the word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. So, while you're running the race, you hear the word of God. You come every Sunday, and you come every Wednesday because you're called of God. And you hear the word of God, but you don't stop there. James 1, you do the word. The word tells you what to do when you are sick. The word tells you what to do when you need money. The word tells you what to do when you're lonely. The word tells you what to do when your business is being oppressed. The word tells you what to do when your girlfriend leaves you or your family breaks up. And watch what he says. You will receive the promise. The promise is God's word. He told Jeremiah, I'll watch over my word and perform it. As you're running the race, you hear the word, you do the word, and you say the word, and you pray the word, and God says, I'll watch over. When I hear the word, I do it. You receive the promise. Amen. So you say and hear and do what he says for sickness, what he says for money, what he says for relationships, and he says you get the promise. All of his promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God's not a man that he shall lie. Hallelujah. Amen. You do the word all that time, and the word is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Proverbs chapter 22. Oh, hallelujah, the Proverbs chapter 22. The word of God all the way through there, you do it. And that word, he keeps his word all the way there. What a prize. Amen. You live by the word of God. Oh, Jesus says, man doesn't live by flesh alone, but bread alone, but by every word of God. What a prize. What a prize. Amen. You got a weapon. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 37. And yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. I will not tarry.
Now the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible also says that Jesus comes at the seventh trump, the last action out. But he says the fake Christ will come at the sixth trump. Anti, in this case, means instead of, not against. The devil, with his Jesus costume on, comes before Jesus. Now you say, okay, we are now on the threshold of the Antichrist. We don't know how long we're going to stand here, but according to the Bible, we're ready for the Antichrist appearance. But don't you fear, because in Mark 13, Jesus says, Jesus has shortened the time of the Antichrist for the elect's sake. Remember Daniel, 7 years, 3.5 years? He shortened it. And Matthew 24, Jesus does not come until after the tribulation of Antichrist. But we also know that in Revelation chapter 9, it tells us how long it is. It's 5 months. Look at that. And so the Antichrist comes. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed, unless you're the two witnesses. They arise from the dead. No problem. But then Jesus comes at the seventh trump. The heaven shall open like a scroll. The Lord shall descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet, the shofar in heaven. And every eye shall see Jesus, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And he comes and he stays. We have the millennium, the great white throne judgment, then heaven on earth, Revelation 20. And what is your prize if you've run the race and endured to the end? He will separate the wheat from the chaff. The saved who stay in the race, Christians, are the wheat. And he gathers you to himself. Woo! What a prize.
Amen.
Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith.
But now, while you run the foot race, you got to live by faith. Just in the Hebrews, Zadok, elect, the righteous people, the saints, you live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be in that next week, says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, one of the reasons you're going to get a reward is every moment you live by faith. You don't treat your body like the world says it. See, Fauci says, us old people will die of COVID. I had it twice. I didn't go to the doctor. I just ate raw garlic, prayed for myself, and I never did have to go to bed. Isn't that awesome to know?
Yeah.
I'm not any better than you. There's a Bible, and I put the oil on. I'm going to pray for the sick in a while. I know with all the prayer of faith will save the sick, and Lord will raise him up. I only missed one lesson because my voice was a little hoarse, and Scott thought that would kind of sound funny on the air. Okay, so you see, I don't operate. I had cancer. Anybody here got cancer? I was healed two times. Yeah. Not by what the doctor said. That's no good. They don't know how to answer. I did what the Bible says. I anointed myself with oil. I believe the word of God. With Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And both times, I was miraculously healed.
Hallelujah.
It took a little while, seed time and harvest, but I'm still here.
Amen.
Look, you too. You just shall live by faith. You don't handle your money, your business, your job, your relationships like other people. And everything about you, everything in the book tells you what to do. If you will ever just open that Bible and obey that Bible, you will win that race, and you'll run the race, and you will win the race.
Let any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Perhaps you're running the race and you say, but you know, that old devil put a rock here in my path, and I think I'd like to go out to the stands out here and sit a while. Mm-mm. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith pleases God. You stay in the race, keep on running, and you will please God, and you'll get to the end there. You'll reach your goal. And you'll get a great reward.
Verse 39. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition.
Now, perdition means a pollen. The word perdition actually means to turn to ashes from within. In Ezekiel chapter 28, round about verse 19, the devil there is called King Tyrus. That was in the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age. And God has said, okay, you rebelled against me. You overthrew my kingdom, Lucifer, King Tyrus. So I'm sentencing you to perdition. That means to turn to ashes from within. Now we go to Revelation chapter 9, and we see there the about to appear Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's called the King of the Bottomless Pit. And it says one of his names is Abaddon, which means destruction, or destroyer. Your enemy, the devil, seeks whom he may destroy. His other name is Apollyon, which means perdition. So, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't let my 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 mess you up. I did not write that well. I did not explain that. Caught up in the air, I didn't mean you're going to fly away, because it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Jesus will not come until the man of sin, the son of perdition, comes. That is the Antichrist. Now, Revelation 13 says the whole world is going to be deceived by him, because he's going to come and say, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. Look at the mess we're in. And when that devil comes in looking like Jesus, two horns of a lamb, the voice of a dragon, the whole world will go off after him. And half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins, but not you. You're not going to fall off to perdition, because you just heard the truth.
Amen.
And you finished the course.
But of them that believe, to the saving of the soul.
You believe God's word. You believe. You don't fall off. You finish the course. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so when you do it to the end, boy, are you going to get a reward. Heaven is going to be on earth. He's going to bring it down here, rejuvenated, Revelation 21. is also mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 44 to 48. And it tells us that all over this earth, it's going to be heaven on earth, paradise restored. All of God's people are going to get a reward, a prize, an inheritance. Now, some of you are probably going to get Florida and Texas, and you're going to get to preach to them, okay? I have a feeling that my pastor in Pakistan and his flock and the evangelist in Pakistan, hello there, I love you. You're so good. I believe you're going to get Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Iran for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to get a place, and we're going to love the Lord Jesus, go up to Jerusalem and worship him. But he says, Father Zadok, I mean, you gave it all. You were sanctified, his elect. You did not fall off. He says, I am your inheritance. Your prize, your reward is God. Amen. When you get God, you've got everything.
Amen.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Church all over the world, friends, keep your eyes on the prize. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Cheryl. Very blessed after that.
Awesome word.
Yeah, it was awesome word.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen.
That is so
James.
Great. We did James not collude James. There. You, the Holy Spirit led you. Great Scott. That's
Amen.
Perfect. Every good gift. What a good gift we're going to have. Now, I'm going to pray for the sick, but before I do, all over the world, the Lord died for you. Anybody in here, if you're not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name I have sinned.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me.
Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for all of you in cyberspace, Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell people that you are saved, and I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, is going to give you my telephone number, and it's my voicemail. Feel free to call that number and leave a confession on my voicemail. I check it often. When I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
You also may email me your confession. You may email me your praise reports, your comments, your healings, your miracles, and anything you want to tell me there. My email is Sherry, Shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. And now it's time to pray for healing. The Bible says in Malachi 4, to those who fear his name, we learn this lesson, fear, revere his name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wings in the Hebrew are laser beams of light, like laser beams of surgery. In the name and the power of Jesus, I speak to lungs. In the name of Jesus, cancer, left lung, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Cancer, right lung, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Holy Rorok, laser beams, left lung, right lung, reparation, rejuvenation, cells, breath, coming back in the name of Jesus. He says his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. He restores health to you. He heals you of your wounds. He brings it health and cure. In the name and the power of Jesus, Holy Rorok, the healing virtue flowing through the left lung. Ease, right lung, ease. Breathe, breathe. You're healed. Pick up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. 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 With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Give your life to him. Get in that foot race and run. I'd stay in the race. I love you also. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
inspires my endurance. Oh, your hope is my anchor. God of hope, fill me. Though you slay me, I will hope. And hope inspires my endurance. And your hope is my anchor. God of hope, fill me. Though you slay me, I will hope. Hope inspires my endurance. Your hope is my anchor. God of hope, fill me. Though you slay me, I will hope. Yeah. And hope inspires my endurance. Your hope is my anchor. God of hope, fill me. Fill me. Though you slay me, I will hope. Your hope inspires my endurance. Your hope, Lord, is my anchor in this earth.
Son of God, rising up again for all the world to. Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
I grew up your baby boy. Yeah, my daddy was my pride and joy. You were strong and brave and wise, and I was the apple of your eye. And of all the things you gave to me, what mattered most is when you'd speak. Say it doesn't matter what you do, you'll never stop my love for you. Oh, you'll never stop my love for you. Well, time can make a soul grow cold. Yeah, you take for granted love you. Bitterness pushed us apart. You knew that I would break your heart. So I took your love and ran away. And I lived a life of wanton waste. And when my recklessness was done, I couldn't stand what I'd become. Came home to beg for grace, with dirt and tear stains on my face. Time had passed and hope had died, but you still kept a watchful eye. When I appeared, you ran to me, and I watched you fall down at said, it doesn't matter what you've done, you'll always be your father's son. Oh, 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 time of wandering's done, I will be my father's son. I'll always be my father's son.
You're listening to WMIE Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches,
91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
The first question every serious Christian should ask is, what does God say about this?
Dr. Tony Evans says considering God's kingdom should be at the forefront of our prayers.
And until that is first, that means you're not yet serious about being a kingdom disciple.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When we recite the Lord's Prayer, we pray for God's kingdom to come. But Dr. Evans says our attitudes sometimes suggest we don't take that idea as seriously as we should. Today, he'll explain how committing to God's program for prayer can rewrite our reality. Let's join him.